Good afternoon and welcome to 30 Minute Reviews, The Backlog Files. I am Adam. Now, unlike the last episode, which was about breaking the rules, from Fairly Odd Parents, it was a licensed game for consoles, this game is not one that I've not played before. This is a game that I've played a copious amount of. I had it on PlayStation 2 way back in the day. When I was a kid, and I was like, let me see if this holds up, because last year on Beware of Spoilers, we covered Pac-Man World Repacked, and I never played the first one. I only ever played Pac-Man World 2, so this is me playing it for the first time, and I know a lot of things changed between the original and the remake of Pac-Man World Repacked, and I was just like, maybe they'll remake Pac-Man World 2. I think that, you know, even with the changes they make between World and World Repack, I still think that World 2 is the better of the two games. And I don't think it's just nostalgia talking, because I feel like I would have, had I not played this game a million times before in the past, I'd probably feel the same way. I can't guarantee that. I'm not able to see into alternate timelines or anything like that, but what I can say is I feel like the improvements they made game to game in terms of just quality of life stuff and other moderate adjustments are just so much better in this one compared to the other one. And look, let's be real, the game isn't perfect. There are some issues. I think that, you know, the precision platforming that is needed at times is sometimes a little bit too slick for what you're trying to do. And, you know, you do move around. And I think the rev roll isn't broken, but it is a little cumbersome to control, especially in later levels where you are basically, like, charge up and then point them in a direction and go. Like the ice levels and in the, what's it called? In the volcano levels and stuff like that. I think that is something that, you know, would need to be improved in a sequel. And I think, too, the other thing that I really like is the level of variety coming off of, coming off of where we were in the last game. And then coming to this one, it's like, it's not just retreading the same worlds, which is a nice little adjustment, it's a nice change from game to game. And I think that is something that really stands out as something that is, oh, we are doing something totally different. And I think that because Pac-Man World had such variety, it does kind of leave them in a place where they don't have a ton of thematic options to go with. I mean, look, you have the obligatory forest levels. I mean, and then going into the denser forest level is an interesting thing. The ice mountain is interesting, and I think that the ice mountain is cool, but there are certain aspects I don't really, you know, like too much. Anytime you have a game, and I've said this before, where it's you are endlessly running towards the camera, I have an issue with that. I'm not a fan of that style game, because like that was a big issue with this, where it's like there is one level where you just do that, and looking at, you know, the fire level has a few points like that are just needlessly annoying, and based on the number of lives you have, it's not a great situation to be in. Where it's like, okay, so we have, there's one point where you have to go into the volcano and you have to continually go down in the volcano and keep going. And as you're doing that, you have to dig through, you have to, you know, hit these buttons that lower the lava level. But one of them is, it's a hallway where you have to hang and strafe and jump from side to side to do that. And there are these, gas things that'll hurt you if you hit them. And going there, it's one thing. Going back, it's a pain in the ass. to the point where I'm like, why would you make it this needlessly difficult when you can just do a chain? Where they've done that at other points in the game, where it's like you hit a button and there's a chain of pack dots in the air, and you can just jump on, bite it, and go back via, you know, flying. But why would you not just do that instead of having people go back through? Because it's not even like it's a fun challenge to try and figure out. It's just kind of annoying. And if it's just going to be kind of annoying, then what's the point of it? Just let me, you know, just go back faster instead of it being a nuisance. Because, like, getting there is one thing, but getting back where the camera isn't reactive and going back behind you, because you are stuck in this one kind of one camera location, it is kind of annoying. And that does harm the overall, you know, enjoyment of that part of the game. And it can get frustrating needlessly. And I think, too, it's like, look, I wish more games now did this, where it's, all of the old games are just built right in. And look, I understand if you have Game Pass, you can go on and you can get the Namco Museum or the Pac-Man Museum, which I have, and I've played a copious amount of via Game Pass or PC. But, you know, if you're going to bring back these things, put the original game in there. And I think I called for this back with Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire way back in the day, because we talked about how in, you know, Ruby and Sapphire there is a game corner, and the game corner was kind of a staple of Pokemon games for the first four generations. It is wild to think about the fact that there are now more generations without the game corner than are with the game corner, but here we are. And with that being the case, and with the game corner, you know, not being in the game, the question was, how do you, can you put it in some other way? And I posited, well, just put in pinball. Like, there was Pokemon Pinball Ruby and Sapphire, which was a fantastic game, and we will do that for an episode in the near future. I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't doubt that that's coming for us. I just love that game. I have it for my Wii U, and that is something that is, you know, we, like, you know, you could use that. I thought they didn't do that, obviously, because there is no game corner in that game. They completely redesigned Mawile City, or Mawville City, to accommodate that there is no, you know, not to accommodate that there is no game corner, but it's just totally redesigned from the ground up. And when you look at how everything kind of works within that game, it is kind of, you could have had that there, for, what's it called, for that. Or you could have put in, like, in Pokemon Channel, there were all of the Pikachu minigames from that handheld they put out. Like, that would also be an option. Like, you could have done that as well. That are kind of, like, the kind of Game & Watch style minigames. But there's no reason why in 2023, you know, we don't do this anymore. Like, if they release a new game, and I think that's part of the problem, is that they just don't release new games like they, like, you know, in these franchises the way they used to. Like, if a new Frogger game came out tomorrow, there would not be the original Frogger on that disc. If, you know, or, you know, on that digital copy, it wouldn't be included. If a new Doom came out, there would not be a new, the old Doom would not be on it, because Doom can run on basically anything. You would think they would, but whatever. And I think that is something that, like, we talked about on this week's episode. We talked about game preservation, and small steps like that would go a long way toward game preservation. And I know for a lot of games, it's like, they can't because of rights issues, and rights issues are a major problem that affect, you know, why games can't get ported. Because, like, I was, like, and the example we brought up was Disney Extreme Skate Adventure, where, you know, there is, you know, the Disney licensing deals with Toys for Bob, and I think that was that Insomniac? No, I think it was Toys for Bob. It was not Insomniac. But, you know, they have the licensing deal with Disney, they have the licensing deal with Nokia, and they have the licensing deal with, what was the other one? They had the licensing deal with, what was the other one they had, the big licensing deal with? McDonald's is the other one, where you can get Ronald McDonald's shoes. And all of those things are in the game, and they would have to re-up these deals. And Little Romeo is a playable character, and there's a bunch of stuff like that, and all the music, and, you know, that just becomes an expensive hassle if you're going to do that. You don't have to do that, you know, with a new game. And there, when we're talking at the most simplistic form with these older games that are like that, it's like, if a new Castlevania came out, there's no reason why they shouldn't bundle the old Castlevania with it, besides that they want to resell it. But yeah, I mean, if you haven't played Pac-Man World 2, I think it's an enjoyable enough game. I think that the difficulty isn't quite as deep. I mean, the original Pac-Man World was not difficult, and neither was the, what's it called? Neither was Pac-Man World Repacked. So it's not like they're venturing out into new territory where this game is now incredibly hard, and it's a lot different. It's, if you had trouble with Pac-Man World, which, assuming you're listening to this podcast, I would assume you probably haven't, because you've probably played a video. Like, I had more trouble with it as a kid than I did, you know, now, where now I didn't have any trouble at all. Like, I got through the game in, like, 4 hours, maybe, I mainlined it. And at the beginning, I was trying 100%, and I was like, let me get everything. And then after a certain point, I was like, fuck this. It's just, it's too time-consuming, and for what? Let me just move on and call it a day. So, that is something that, you know, you can take into consideration, is that the game's not incredibly difficult. But, you know, it is worth your time. I would say it's a worthwhile experience if you can get it and play it on a large screen. I would say it's worth your time. You can pick it up. Your local game store will almost certainly have it, because it was a major seller back in the day. So any local game store you go to will likely have a copy of it. So it's definitely worth, you know, checking out and what's it called, and playing at least once, just to see what it is that you are, you know, how this, you know, why this game is, you know, kind of a classic at this point. I mean, I know it was in the Greatest Hits collection, but I think any game that sold over a certain mark was in the Greatest Hits collection. So I don't think that's quite the worthwhile. And the thing is, too, it's like, I don't know what exactly constitutes being a PlayStation Greatest Hit. That's the other issue I have. So it could have meant that it did a lot of money. It could just mean that, you know, the publisher paid for the logo. I don't know. Either way, it's worth a play. And especially if you can get it used for, like, you know, $15-$20 at, you know, at a local game store. Like, I wouldn't spend a ton of money, but I would spend, you know, I would spend some, definitely. But yeah, I think that is as good a place as I need to wrap up for today. Our next game we do on this is probably going to be Pokemon Pinball Ruby and Sapphire for the Game Boy Advance. Because I've talked myself into wanting to play that game a little bit more deeply again. I haven't played that game in a long-ass time. And that is, you know, we're going to end up doing that one next. And that'll be in 2 weeks. Our next episode of 30-Minute Reviews. We may get back to doing movies. It's just been a kind of a hectic time with all of the, what's it called? All of the new releases going on and all the TV shows that are on TV. If you want to hear about some new release movies and stuff like that, to go over on Beware of Spoilers. We also, in the video game front, will probably be covering Viewfinder this month as a video game. And there's one other thing I feel like I'm forgetting. So with the SAG strike currently ongoing and the WGA strike, in an effort to, you know, try and figure out how to handle this, I think the solution that makes the most sense for productions that are currently ongoing, that we've seen there's some that are going to be shooting anyway, and I know that House of the Dragon and, what was the other one, and Dune the Sisterhood are going to be shooting. I think in error on Beware of Spoilers today, I said they were going to be shooting with non-union people. That is not accurate. They have a contract with Equity, which is another actors guild, and they'll be shooting with those actors. So it will still be union shop, and it's not, you know, It's not Warner Brothers being like, oh shit, we're just gonna get around this. That said, so we will be, we will probably be covering Dune and House of the Dragon, season 2 when those come out. That said, Alien, the TV show for FX that Noah Hawley is doing, that show is allegedly going to be shooting anyway, but only using non-SAG actors. Now, whether that means that they are using equity actors or using something else, I don't know. We are going to keep an eye on it. But the general rule of thumb will be, beware of spoilers, which for right now we're doing full circle, starting tomorrow, My Mission Superman, Star Trek Strange New World, Secret Invasion, and iCarly. For right now, the rule will be, if it turns out that they use non-union actors, or scab actors, we will not be covering any show in that regard. Whether or not I like the franchise, we will not be covering that show. And I was okay with making that decision this morning with Dune based on incorrect information. Now that I have corrected information, we may be covering it, assuming that, of course, they are using equity, which is in contract, and not, what's it called, and not just going non-union actors. Because it's not right to anyone, including the non-union actors, because the non-union actors were told via, the strike memorandum that if you are a non-union actor and you star in a production, you will not be allowed entry into SAG upon end of the strike, or when it is time for you to enter. And the same goes for, the same goes for the, people who are in SAG who decide to act. They become excommunicado if they do that. But yeah, we will wrap up there for today, and our next episode will be next week. So until then, have a great rest of your week.